Welcome to Declassified. I'm Gina Shakespeare. According to an undercover reporter who infiltrated an Antifa cell, at least some parts of the movement are highly organized. The reporter worked on behalf of Project Veritas, an investigative journalism nonprofit, and said they have initiation procedures, security protocols, and lectures on violent action. The reporter, who didn't reveal his name, spoke about his experience and the information he collected in a video Veritas released on June 4th. Officials from both political sides have said that outside groups have exploited the recent events to further their own agenda. Antifa cells in particular have been named among the prime culprits in inciting violence. The reporter said he joined the Antifa cell in Portland, Oregon in July of a certain year that Veritas didn't disclose.
Depending on the setting, if I were to be caught or found out in a setting where I am present with them, it could escalate to violence against me.
He had left the organization some time ago, according to Veritas. The reporter described the initiation process, where he was contacted through a secure email platform and directed to come to a designated location wearing a white t-shirt and holding a water bottle. He was then picked up and taken to another location for an interview. Prospecting members need to first attend required lectures on Antifa tactics, he said. The lectures were held at a bookstore before its opening hours. Attendees were required to leave their cell phones in the store's restroom, which had a fan going to muffle any sound from outside. Several people lectured the prospects on how to conduct violent action in a clandestine fashion and how to minimize risk to themselves.
Don't be that f***ing guy with the goddamn spiked brass knuckles getting photos taken of you. Police are going to be like, perfect, we can prosecute these f***ers, look how violent they are. Right? Not that we're not, but we need to f***ing hide.
The lecturer apparently instructed the prospects to inflict grave injury on their opponents.
Practice things like an eye gouge. It takes very little pressure to injure someone's eyes. Consider, like, destroying your enemy, not, like, delivering a really awesome right hand, right eye, left eye blow, you know? It's not boxing, it's not kickboxing, it's like destroying your enemy.
The reporter said he made it about halfway through the prospecting process to become a full-fledged member. He said this is about the Portland cell called Rose City Antifa, RCA.
With RCA, it seems much more structured, almost like a company or like a business. So, you know, I feel like there is some type of outside funding, influence, or resources being used.
Antifa members do not hesitate to push back or incite some kind of violence, the reporter said, but the approach is planned beforehand.
In our classes and in our meetings, before we do any sort of demonstration or black bloc, you know, we talk about weapons detail and what we carry and what we should have. What is black bloc? Well, this is black bloc right now. The term is used to a tactic in which individuals conceal their identity to look uniform so that no one can be identified in an act of a crime.
The whole goal of this, right, is to get out there and do dangerous things as safely as possible.
On a projection screen beside him was seen what appeared to be a slide from a presentation. It talked about buddying up, a system where each member has a buddy during action. Keep an eye on their buddy's emotional state and try to calm them down, comfort them when necessary, the slide says, and follows with other instructions. Members are told to provide details to legal support person when their buddy gets arrested. They should also help with fighting off an opponent, calling an ambulance, finding a first aider, or asking someone with a camera to record the situation when their buddy is getting hurt, and also to leave with their buddy whenever they want to go for any reason.
They were getting this tradecraft from someone else, someone with much more experience, someone who did this for a living.
He said the cell maintained a connection to Antifa abroad as the founder of RCA moved to Sweden. The Epoch Times wasn't able to verify the person's role in founding the cell. At a May 30th press conference, Attorney General William Barr said the recent violence appears to be
planned, organized, and driven by anarchic and left extremist groups, far-left extremist groups, using Antifa-like tactics.
Bernard Carrick, former police commissioner of the New York City Police Department, said Antifa 100% exploited these protests, noting that their various websites control and dictate where protests start. It's in 40 different states in 60 cities. It would be impossible for somebody outside of Antifa to fund this, he told the Epoch Times. It's a radical leftist socialist attempt at revolution. According to John Miller, the NYPD's Deputy Commissioner of Intelligence and Counterterrorism, these outside radical groups have organized scouts, medics, and even supply routes of rocks, bottles, and accelerants for breakaway groups to commit vandalism and violence. These groups have planned for violence in advance using encrypted communications, he said. Communism expert Trevor Loudon told the Epoch Times that Antifa is only one part of the picture, noting that every significant communist or socialist party in the United States has been involved in these protests and riots from the beginning. Attorney General William Barr said on Thursday that authorities have made 51 arrests for federal crimes related to violent rioting amid days of protests. Barr said the Justice Department and other federal agencies are working around the clock to restore order, adding that resources have been deployed to quell outbreaks of violence in several places. Barr said authorities are seeing three different sets of actors at the demonstrations: peaceful protesters exercising their First Amendment rights, groups exploiting the opportunity to engage in looting, and extremist agitators who have hijacked the protests to pursue their own agendas. The last group is to be blamed for the violent activity.
We have evidence that Antifa and other similar extremist groups, as well as actors of a variety of different political persuasions, have been involved in instigating and participating in the violent activity. And we are also seeing foreign actors playing all sides to exacerbate the violence.
So what are your thoughts on Antifa? Please leave a comment below. If you are new here and have not subscribed, please consider doing so. Just in closing, if you enjoyed the video, please give it a thumbs up and don't forget to share it on social media. And just in closing, if you have not signed up for a print or digital subscription of the Epoch Times, please do so today. Link is in the description box. From all of us here at Declassified, thank you so much for watching and we'll see you soon.
Keith Ellison has elevated the charges of the officer seen kneeling on George Floyd's neck. He's also arrested and charged the other three officers involved, two of whom were kneeling on George Floyd simultaneously just as the other officer was, and two of whom, as you can see in the mugshot behind me, were not white. Unfortunately, the media and media pundits and mega superstars took quick action to racialize this entire thing, making this black versus white, when there was no evidence whatsoever of any sort of racial motivation. Now, I have to ask the question, and I asked this question on my Telegram channel. I said, how did the group that commits over 50% of all of the homicides, despite making up a sliver of our population, 90% of the interracial attacks between blacks and whites, the highest rate of rape, the highest rate of assault, homicide of thousands of other blacks annually, the highest hate crime rate, and over 33% of police killings get to call themselves the victims here? This is the question, and how do we allow them to do this? Now, I'm going to try to answer the question of why a lot of your cities might be on fire right now, of why many hundreds of small businesses have been completely burned to the ground, and many people are dead. There are some people, even black victims, unarmed black men, who were shot to death by rioters over a TV. This is what's occurring right now in the country, and the facts matter. The facts matter because this is what's happening right now. Even though these officers were arrested and charged, the riots still continue, and now they're spreading into European countries. So you might be wondering what truly is going on here. Are we under attack? What is happening here? I'm going to tell you exactly what this is about, but first, I'm going to tell you exactly what it's not about. All of that and more next. Before we get started, I just want to thank this video sponsor. This video has been kindly sponsored by Fighter Flare Flashlight. Give the gift of protection this Father's Day with 25% off the amazing Fighter Flare Flashlight. The 6-in-1 flashlight comes with a solar-powered recharging battery, 800-lumen LED, high-low beam light, emergency strobe light, compass, wire, rope cutter, emergency glass breaker hammer, and a high-powered military-grade magnet. Never waste money on batteries again. The Fighter Flare Flashlight is solar-powered with a new extended 3,000 mAh-powered battery. Check the link in the description below and use the code that you see at the bottom of your screen. It helps this channel out tremendously.
Only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, aktivnye meroприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country.
So let's first get to what this is not about. This is not about Black lives. It's not even close. And the way that you know this for sure is because you can actually look at the numbers and you can see that there are thousands of Black lives taken by other Black individuals on a yearly basis, every single year, lots of children, lots of innocent people, some not, doesn't matter, but there are thousands of Black lives taken by other Blacks every single year. We don't see any riots. We don't even see any marches. Black Lives Matter is nowhere to be found, right? Now, we move that and we compare that to the 18, according to the Washington Post data we went over just the other day, 18 unarmed Black people whose lives were taken by police. That's when they start to pretend to care, at least, right? That's when they start to care. But then if we break that down even further, it's really only when it's a white cop killing a Black person, because a lot of those 18, while some were charging at police, beating up women relentlessly, a lot of those 18 unarmed Black people whose lives were taken by police were taken by Black police. See, they don't care when that happens. They do not care when that happens. It's only when a white officer does it. And this is when they riot. This is when they decide to burn your city to the ground. It's only when the victim shares their skin color and the perpetrator does not. So you have to ask yourself this question. Who truly are the racist ones here? There are hundreds more whites killed by police on a yearly basis than Blacks. Do you ever see any white person looking at this? And there are more. I'm sure that there are more. I haven't looked into the data, but since there are hundreds more whites killed by police than Blacks, I'm sure that there are many more white Americans killed by Black police than Black Americans killed by white police. Do you see white people look at this and say, well, we have to burn the city to the ground and riot and loot Target and shoot people over TVs? You don't see that. Now let's go on to this. It's not about racist attacks either, because the data just doesn't back that up. As a matter of fact, white people have a better argument than anyone else. So if we go to this story here, this is from US News, and it's talking about race and homicide in America by the numbers, and it talks about the interracial homicides, and this is according to the FBI data. You can see that far more whites are killed by Blacks than Blacks are killed by whites on a yearly basis, despite Black Americans making up only 13% of the population. If we break this down even further, it's mostly Black males who make up 6% of the population. Now, if we put this into a per 100,000 calculation based off of this FBI data that we go to, we can see that white Americans have a way better argument for like Lives Matter protests than anyone else as far as like racist attacks are concerned. So you can see interracial homicide per 100,000 people averaged from 2001 to 2015. And we can see Black on white is 1.2 per 100,000, white on Black is 0.08 per 100,000. Also, if we look at like interracial attacks, things like this, I think it's something like 90% of the interracial attacks between Blacks and whites is committed by Blacks. So it's a Black perpetrator, despite making up a sliver of our population. So it's certainly not about racist attacks. And if anyone could say that they're being hunted in the streets, it's definitely not Black Americans. It's not about police killing people either. FBI data show that for every 10,000 Black Americans arrested for violent crime, 3 are killed. Yet for every 10,000 white Americans arrested for violent crime, 4 are killed. Black police officer and Black perpetrator accounts for many of the Black victim of police killings as well. If we look specifically at unarmed Black men shot by police, data from the Washington Post from 2016 shows that there were a total of 18. When compared to this data to the CDC that show other causes of death, it puts everything into perspective. There are more, far more, unarmed and armed white Americans killed by police annually, but of course no one cares. Do you know any of their names? Of course you don't know any of their names because the media doesn't cover them. Despite Black Americans having 20 to 30 times per 100,000, the police encounters due to their crime rates being 20 to 30 times higher. Finally, many of the unarmed Black Americans shot by police were shot by Black officers. Now, if we look at this breakdown here, this is something I showed you the other day, and we look at shot by police compared to other causes of death, 147 from falling downstairs, 23 from constipation, Falling from the bed. You are more likely as a black person to die from falling out of the bed than being unarmed and killed by police. Statistically, this is true. The fears are illegitimate. And I'm basing that off of a comment that I read just the other day from one of my old liberal friends from back in Chicago when I was a kid who said, "Why are you trying to hijack the narrative? You can't just say, but the data. People have legitimate fears." This is an emotionally based argument. You are not thinking with your brain. You are formulating your opinions based on emotions driven by a media narrative that goes unchecked.
Go get it.
How's it feel being out here right now?
Oh, it feels good, but it's not yet. Not yet. We haven't done nothing yet. We haven't accomplished nothing yet.
What do you hope to accomplish?
We want to write the Reconstitution. We need a new law for all blacks. We got to be treated like this all the time.
Now, all this data that I'm showing you here today is not to say that this particular group of people are all criminals, because the numbers just don't add up either. If we look at homicide rate arrests, at least, we see 13 per 100,000 versus 2 per 100,000 for white Americans. It is higher, but it's still 13 out of every 100,000 people. If we look at the CDC data, 30 per 100,000, sometimes 20 per 100,000 versus white Americans at 2.5 per 100,000, it is much higher. But still, it's 30 out of every 100,000 people. At the highest rate in St. Louis, 60 per 100,000 people in that particular city, it's a lot higher, but it's still 60 out of every 100,000 people. The same goes for robbery, rape, and aggravated assault. This is not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that what the media is trying to sell us is complete and utter bullshit. And actually, the reverse would actually have a better argument, a better case than what they're trying to sell us right now. But neither is true. And now we have people fighting in the streets. We have riots breaking out. We have cities burning down. We have people divided politically, ideologically, racially, so on and so forth. And so this is what I'm trying to present to you today. Now, also, let me tell you what this is not about as well. This is not about saving lives whatsoever, because if we just go back just a short while ago, just like a week or so ago, we can see that people were screaming. If you were outside, you were being arrested. If you were not wearing a mask, you were being arrested or charged or fined. If you held church services, we had nurses and medical doctors out there protesting, counter-protesting the protesters who wanted to open the country back up, standing in front of their cars, angry for wanting to open the country back up, ridiculing the people who showed up to the state capitals to open the country back up. Well, now, those same people, those same medical doctors, those same media pundits, those same mega superstars are applauding and cheering on and encouraging what's going on right now in the country. The mass protests, millions of people gathered in close proximity, really shows you all that you need to know about the mortality risk of the coronavirus. Now, if we move on and we try to explain what this is about, why are cities on fire right now? Why is it spreading across Europe as well? Why are many hundreds of small businesses completely destroyed? Many immigrant-owned small businesses, many black-owned small businesses, many white-owned small businesses. Why are entire livelihoods destroyed that took decades to build up on top of the livelihoods that were destroyed because of the lockdown based on a virus that, according to antibody testing, has a 0.03% mortality risk in California and very close to zero for ages 18 to 25 nationwide. Why is this happening? Well, number one, the rioters, you know, except for the ones that commit the most egregious acts, beating people in the streets, largely white people mainly, beating down shop owners, destroying, burning down churches, burning down federal buildings, toppling monuments, things like this. Aside from the most egregious acts by the rioters, a lot of these rioters, they just want the come up, right? They've admitted this openly in the past. I've showed you the video clips. They just want the cash. They just want the merchandise. Did you see the looter who was who stole the iMac, who was then looted by other looters who wanted his loot? Did you guys see that video? I don't know. It was pretty crazy, honestly. And a lot of these videos, the media just isn't covering. So we look at two sides of the table, and one side has the information on what's actually going on in the streets, and the other side, who pays attention to the mainstream media, has like an alternate reality. And this is where the division and the tension occur, right? There's also another video. This guy gets out of the Rolls Royce and beats up some looters to take their loot. And it looks like the literal purge is happening. I don't know if you saw that video or not. By the way, check my Instagram page. I have all of the best videos from the past few days here. So it's not really about the rioters themselves. A lot of them, they just want to come up, right? A lot of them, they want something else. But we're going to get to that next. Now, for a lot of people, for like these big, well-funded organizations out there, this is about the complete destruction of law and order. And I'm going to prove that to you right now. If we look at this tweet here, this is from Brian Fallon, who's the executive director of Demand Justice, formerly a U.S. Senate Justice Department Clinton campaign. He says, defund the police. If we look at Minneapolis, according to City Pages, Minneapolis City Council members are considering completely disbanding the police. Disbanding the police. If we go down even further and we look at Rashida Tlaib, she has tweeted her support for defunding the police. Then we look at the case for abolishing prisons, which has been thrown around by a lot of these people as well. This is not some anecdotal far left-wing student at a college campus. These are people in our government calling for this, and many very well-funded organizations that are now more well-funded today because we just saw, what was it, Bank of America donating $1 billion and others donating millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. So this is the story out of City Pages here, and if we scroll down to this part, it says, various private and public bodies from First Avenue to Minneapolis public schools have essentially cut ties with the police department. Council members are trying to figure out what their next move is. Their discussion is starting to sound a little bit more like what groups like Reclaim the Black and Black Visions Collective have been saying for years. On Tuesday, Fletcher published a lengthy Twitter thread saying that the police department was irredeemably beyond reform and a protection racket that slows down responses as a political playback. Several of us on the council are working on finding what it would take to disband the Minneapolis Police Department and start fresh with a, quote, community-oriented, nonviolent public safety and outreach capacity. Then we look at the L.A. mayor. And the L.A. mayor has cut $150 million from the police budget and just gave it to black people. That's basically what happened. Do you know how many more black lives are going to be taken by other black people with this? Do you think, like, let's just imagine that all of the police departments nationwide, particularly let's focus on St. Louis, Detroit, Baltimore, Jackson, Mississippi, and a few other places like in the south side of Chicago. These are places that are far more dangerous per 100,000 than most third world cities in South and Central America. You understand that, right? Like, despite having far worse poverty, far worse education, these cities in South and Central America are actually 3 times safer per 100,000 as far as homicide rate than these majorly black cities in our country. So it's not poverty, and it's not just about poverty, and it's not just about education. These make up a small percentage, a very tiny percentage of the overrepresentation of crime. There have been many studies that have proven this and controlled for that, and I've been over that with you on this channel. So when the police officers just take 30 days off, let's say they take 60 days, let's say they go away forever in these cities, what do you think is going to happen? There's a reason why a lot of police officers are actually retiring right now. A lot of police officers are completely retiring, resigning in LA, moving to other cities, resigning in New York City, moving to other cities because they're tired of this crap. The police officers in San Francisco called the district attorney, Chase Aboudin, who's the biological son of two domestic terrorists who are now in prison for a communist bombing, and the adopted son of Bill Ayers, who ran the Weather Underground. The police officers in San Francisco call him a communist. Why do you think that is? Well, it's because he fired all the tough-on-crime prosecutors. He fired everyone who's going after the gangs up there in San Francisco. And also, he dropped the charges of a black man, who stabbed a police officer several times with a broken glass bottle. This is why they call Chase Aboudin a communist. Now, someone who's even worse than him just got elected in Multnomah County in Oregon, by the way, and these are the people who are gaining positions of power. This is why it's not just some anecdotal movement to completely abolish prisons, defund the police completely, abolish the police completely. This is what they're trying to do. For a lot of people, it's about the complete and utter destruction of law and order. Therefore, it will be the destruction of order in a society. Therefore, they can bring about the revolution that they've always wanted. Lastly, for a lot of these people, including a lot of these organizations that are trying to upset law and order, whether knowingly or not, for a lot of these people, this is about racial revenge. This is about racial revenge. And we can see this because as we speak right now, Confederate monuments are being toppled all across the country. Now, you might say, well, why do we want to celebrate losers? Okay. It started with the Confederate monuments. Then it moved on to Columbus statues. Then it moved on to William McKinley statues. Then it moved on to Washington murals. Then it moved on to Mission Bells. You want to guess how long it's going to be take before how long it's going to take before they rename Thanksgiving like Black History Day or something, or Indigenous Day? Well, they already have that for Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. How long is it going to take before they advocate for dynamiting Mount Rushmore? You think I'm joking? You think I'm being hyperbolic here? This is the trajectory that we're on. And what is this to say? This is all to say that they are picking apart, deconstructing slowly but surely any sort of evidence of European history in this country. Now, let me show you this tweet here. This tweet has tens of thousands of retweets. Twitter is not taking it down. This is by someone named Tupac Chopra. When has violence ever solved anything? The Haitian Revolution, 1791 to 1804. And you can see these people killing a white person. This has over 20.6 thousand retweets. And he says, everyone's saying, look at Haiti now, is my penis. But I mean, that's true, though. I mean, you can just tell me, let's just point this out here. Spear versus guns and massive ships. Why do you think Haiti is the way it is right now? Haiti's always been that way. I mean, it's always been that way. It doesn't matter. Look at Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan, right? Look how quickly they rebuilt. Haiti's been free for hundreds of years. Look at Haiti right now. And we can go across. It doesn't matter. We can go to any country. We can show you the same thing happening here. This is what they're trying to do. This is, for a lot of people, this is about racial revenge. This is about racial revenge. And they openly admit it. And then they have the media on their side. Now, let me end with this. Because I asked the question in the beginning of the video. And I said, how did the group that commits over half of all the homicides, despite making up really 6% of the population for males, 90% of the interracial attacks between blacks and whites, the highest rate of rape, the highest rate of assault, the homicide of thousands of other blacks annually, the highest hate crime rate, over 33% of police killings, by the way, that's true, despite making up only 6% of the population, black males, 33% of all cop killers, and in some cities, it's actually over 50%. How do they get to call themselves the victims? Well, it's because of they're using white fear. White fear. We have a fear of criticizing. Devin Stack made a perfect analogy. I've actually made this analogy before, but he had made the analogy. Apparently, there was this episode of The Twilight Zone where this boy had magical powers who could just zap people into some alternate universe if they made him mad. So they would always try to please this boy. They would always try to make him happy. And if he ever got mad or agitated or anything, he would just zap these people into outer space, right? Just completely obliterate them. This is the analogy that he made, because if you make them mad, they will burn your city down. If you criticize them, they will burn your city down. And people see this and they're like, I can't. And then if you criticize them online, you're going to get fired, you're going to get doxxed, you're going to get harassed by many multiple people throwing Molotov cocktails at your house. So don't be fearful anymore. In order to save your country, unless if you're going to lose your job, just share videos, okay? Just share videos, share posts, things like this. Don't put your job at risk. Don't put family relationships at risk. That's also very important, okay? Never do that. But if you don't have this sort of thing hovering over your head, you should never cower in fear. You should never kneel, as Tucker Carlson says, to the, quote, victors. And that's what I have for you on this today. God, our Father, glorious in giving life and even more glorious in restoring it. When his last night on earth came, your Son shed tears of blood, but dawn brought incomparable gladness. Do not turn away from us, or we shall fall back into dust, but rather turn our mourning into joy by raising us up with Christ. This is a psalm prayer. My goal is to eventually become a powerhouse of truth. That is why it is imperative that you check the links in the description below and go to either Patreon and Subscribestar and support us for at least the cost of a cup of coffee a month. We already have writers writing for TheRedElephants.com, but we'd like to bring on more in the near future. By the way, at TheRedElephants.com, you can also find t-shirts, hats, and other products. Check the links in the description below. It helps us out tremendously.